Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Francine Foss and Anish Chagpar. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. Dr. Chagpar is associate professor of surgical oncology and director of the Breast Center at Smilo Cancer Hospital at Yale New Haven. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This week, Drs. Foss and Chagpar welcome Claire Criscolo and Maura Harrigan. Here's Francine Foss.
We're here today to talk with our guests about healthy eating around the holidays, which I'm sure is a subject we're all interested in hearing about. Could you start off by introducing yourselves and telling us a little bit about yourselves? Perhaps we could start with Claire.
Hi, thank you. This is going to be a great conversation. I'm Claire Criscolo, and I'm from Claire's Cornucopia. We have a 37-year-old vegetarian restaurant across from Old Campus at Yale. I am a big fan of just real food, good food, fresh food, and we prove every day that you could enjoy it and still have room for indulgences.
And Maura, you're on the other side, which is helping us to learn how to eat properly. Can you introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing?
Yes, thank you, and thank you for having me here. I'm a registered dietitian, and I'm also board certified in oncology nutrition. So I deal with cancer survivors, mostly, who are seeking out ways to eat in a healthy manner after their diagnosis. So I think Claire and I are very much on the same page with how to approach healthy eating. And I think Claire, who I've been a big fan of your store and menu for many years, shows that good eating and good business go hand in hand, and good food.
Thank you. This is a big issue, not only for cancer survivors, but for all of us. But maybe we should start, Maura, with you telling us a little bit about cancer survivors. Do they have particular nutritional needs and dietary restrictions that they need to be thinking about?
Good eating is a great tool to feeling better after cancer treatment. And a lot of people come to the survivorship clinic seeking nutrition information. But oftentimes they come with a lot of misinformation. So clarifying where they get their nutrition information from is often job one. And often they come seeking out use of supplements. So over 90% of cancer survivors go to supplements for good nutrition. So my job is to get them to realize that they can get their full good nutrition through whole foods. And I know that Claire in Claire's Cornucopia has all those foods there, which is wonderful.
So Claire, can you tell us a little bit about what made you decide to open a vegetarian restaurant here in New Haven?
Actually, I didn't start out as a vegetarian restaurant. I really wanted to have whole food, real food, and food from everyone's grandmother's table. I think fearing that we were going to forget our heritage and forget our beautiful food histories. But I gravitated back to a vegetarian diet on a personal level, and that's when I started doing more reading about health and nutrition and prevention. And I'm fascinated by the possibilities, and that's when we eliminated meat and eliminated smoking in the restaurant in 1976. It sort of evolved to that.
So, Claire, you used to be a nurse, is that correct?
Yes.
So how did you segue from being a registered nurse to opening a restaurant?
I'm a big fan of prevention, and my mother raised me always saying, why don't you have a nice apple? Eat this, it's good for you. And she always seemed to have a home remedy for things, and even I later learned how much sense they made. For instance, squeezing lemon on your spinach, it helps metabolize the iron. I mean, and these are things that I think our parents and grandparents instinctively knew. And again, it's part of listening to your body. And I love it. And I really fell in love with the prospect that maybe we can let people eat better, enjoy it, and have a little fun.
Tell us a little bit about what choices we should be making, how we can make those choices, especially when we want to eat healthy, but we also want to enjoy the season.
Well, you always have to remember that food is meant to be enjoyed, particularly at the holiday time. There are a lot of traditions that need to be honored and celebrated. So I always encourage people to manage their eating through the holidays, first through moving more. moving their bodies more, getting out for walks, exercising so that you can eat. So keeping their activity going through the holidays is very important. Then the second tool is really, use a dietitian term, portion control, where have the foods, but be mindful of how much. Enjoy it, and then go have a walk.
And Claire, you had mentioned earlier that there were ways of not losing that indulgence. So how might we be able to indulge while still keeping in mind all of those healthy aspects that you were talking about?
Okay, so I think that basically, I think during holiday time, the biggest struggle is managing parties. You're invited somewhere. I say be the best guest ever. Offer to bring something. Offer to bring something like a huge salad, a gorgeous dip, something lovely like a really good roasted organic bell pepper hummus with organic corn chips, something that's high in fiber, something that's still delicious. Bring something festive like a punch. Brew blueberry herb tea and mix a lot of like frozen blueberries in it, organic blueberries and strawberries, and maybe chop an apple in it. Put a couple of cinnamon sticks in it and then bring it in a jar along with a bottle of Pellegrino water and maybe a lemon over to the host's house, and then put it together. And you have a fabulous punch that's low in calories. You're getting some fruit in. You're getting working on eating healthy foods. And you know, go easy on it. Maybe instead of, if you want to bring a dessert, stuff dried figs with dark chocolate chips and almonds and bake it in orange juice. You know, that's just amazing and high in fiber and tastes totally indulgent. And then also, you know, make a cake. Make it, but make it into cupcakes. Make little cupcakes like fairy cakes. And then someone could have one and you feel so satisfied, especially if you use good ingredients. If you're using organic eggs, good King Arthur unbleached flour, making things from scratch, from real food, I think you feel more satisfied. You don't need as much of it. And then it doesn't hurt to have a huge glass of water before you leave the house to go to a party.
So, Claire, you're giving us some really great recipes here. Can you talk to the average person out there, say, who's never really been a vegetarian cook or who's not really tried to be adventurous with their cooking? Can you give us some clues as to how we start? You know, how does one actually begin being a vegetarian or cooking like a vegetarian with healthy foods?
I think the easiest way is to transition. At the risk of using a totally non-vegetarian phrase, don't go cold turkey. You really want to gradually introduce, make the changes in your diet. So for instance, if you're going to a party and you know there's going to be lots of cheese and crackers, then you want to bring something and you want something that has some cheese in it. You know, bring something that's lower sodium and lower fat, like a nice ricotta cheese. Surround it with slices of organic apples and drizzle it with honey and sliced toasted almonds. You know, so you've got that healthy thing. But I think that also when you're learning how to cook, go easy on yourself. You know, master one recipe and make that one recipe every single week until you're so good at it, you barely have to look at the recipe. And I also like taking, if I'm making, let's say, a soup or I'm making a sauce and I'm not sure if I want to change the herbs in it, what we do at the restaurant is, my mom used to do this, we take little cups and set them out on the counter and then put a pinch of each herb inside each cup and then taste it. And then you could try a new herb and you might say, you know, I do like curry after all. Well, that's a spice. But, you know, or I do like tarragon after all, or I do like rosemary. And then if you don't like it, you could say, that's not going to work, and you don't feel like you've made a mistake.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about all of these recipes and bringing these great dishes to your host's home sounds fantastic. But all of us around the holiday season in particular, but in life in general, are really busy. And I can imagine, Maura, for many of your cancer survivors, especially even people going through treatment, people who have just completed treatment, they've got a million other things that they're doing and that's on their mind. How do you advise people to really try to incorporate all of this great advice into what is otherwise a very chaotic and busy life?
That's one of the biggest obstacles people deal with, time management. And it really starts with a good food shop and sitting down and taking the time to think about what you're eating. Plan out some meals, write out a good food shopping list, and we do that at the Survivorship Clinic. We have food shopping lists that we share with people and encourage people to go into the grocery store, bring in these healthy foods into your home so you surround yourself and create a healthy food environment in your home, then it's easy to grab something on the go because you're surrounded by healthy foods. And I encourage them to create this healthy food environment in their home, in their car, as they're driving to work, in their office. You have good food, good healthy snacks in your drawer. So you always have it on hand. And that way you're not skipping meals, which sets you up for overeating and for sugar cravings. So, but when you back it all up, it all comes down to a good food shop and making the time for that. And people come to that realization and they see the value of that.
How important is it for us to be shopping organic, to be buying organic meats or organic vegetables?
Well, I think it's very important. We follow the guidelines of the Environmental Working Group at Claire's and of the Union for Concerned Scientists. I just think that less pesticides has to be better. Less fungicides and herbicides has to be better. And I'd rather if someone, and I know they're expensive, believe me, I struggle with that at the restaurant. But I think that you could save money other ways. You know, make your own yogurt. If you eat 2 cups of yogurt a day and you make your own yogurt, you could save $1,000 at the end of the year. So use that money toward it. Make your own cleaning supplies. I will give you the recipe. It's right on our website. I give it away for free. That will save you money, and then you could put that money toward it. But I think it's very important, you know, for children, for adults, for people who are well, for people who are trying to be well.
I would just like to add to that that the Environmental Working Group does put out a list called the Dirty Dozen, where buying organic makes a difference. You don't have to buy organic across the board. And for many people, the cost of buying organic is prohibitive. And so rather than have them not eat fruits and vegetables because they feel they can't afford organic, I do point out the Dirty Dozen list, but also encourage them to practice good food safety with their produce, how to clean the food, how to properly store it, and that all decreases the risk of foodborne illness. So there are ways around it. But I agree with Claire, the more we can do it, the better, but the cost sometimes gets in the way.
We're in Connecticut where we have a lot of farming, and there's farmers markets around as well. So do you talk about those with patients, Mara, and do you find that patients gravitate in that direction?
Yes. In fact, there's what's called a CSAs. They're community support agriculture. And there are these groups that co-ops where you can buy shares. And I encourage a lot of the women who come through the survivorship clinic and their families to join these. And that's what opens up a whole new world of cooking and they'll get a whole crop of greens that they never even saw before. And then they want to know, how do I cook this? What do I do with kale? So that's a wonderful way to increase fruits and vegetables in a fun way.
And sometimes, like in my town, you can actually volunteer to work on the farm as well for your share.
So you get your exercise, too.
That's right.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a very short break for a medical minute. But please stay tuned to learn more information about healthy eating with Claire and Maura.
Breast cancer is the most common cancer in women. In Connecticut alone, approximately 3,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year. But there's new hope. Earlier detection, non-invasive treatments, and novel therapies provide more options for patients to fight breast cancer. Women should schedule a baseline mammogram beginning at age 40 or earlier if they have risk factors associated with the disease. With screening, early detection, and a healthy lifestyle, breast cancer can be defeated. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, such as Yale Cancer Center, to make innovative new treatments available to patients. A potential breakthrough in treating chemotherapy-resistant breast cancer is now being studied at Yale, combining BSI 101, a PARP inhibitor, with the chemotherapy drug irinotecan. This has been a Medical Minute, brought to you as a public service by the Yale Cancer Center. More information is available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Anise Chagpar, and we're joined today by our guests, Claire and Maura, who are here to help us discuss healthy eating and cancer. So Maura, before the break, we were talking a little bit about your role in the survivorship clinic. and how important healthy eating is. One of the questions that we always get asked is, as a cancer survivor, what should I be eating? Or as somebody who may be at high risk of developing cancer, is there anything that I should be eating that might help me prevent cancer? Or conversely, foods that if I eat them will lead to cancer? Can you help us to sort out some of the facts and the fiction around diet and cancer?
Okay, yes, you're talking about two different things, prevention and survivorship, but really the eating is the same. And what we promote is a plant-based, predominantly plant-based way of eating. Now, it doesn't have to be all the way vegetarian, but we promote, if you look at your plate and think of your plate, you want two-thirds of your plate filled with foods that come from plants, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes. And you want one-third or less of your plate coming from animal sources. So in that way, I often say we use meat as a condiment. And we want our plate filled with colors. And colors is a shorthand way of getting to the science. But if you're looking at all your fruits and vegetables and incorporating as many colors as you can, what you're capturing are all the phytonutrients, which are the compounds that are only found in the plant kingdom. And those are the compounds that impart the color. So when you eat by color, you're actually capturing the healing power of food. So that works for both cancer prevention and also as a survivor.
If you're going to eat meat, like a lot of folks in our audience do eat meat, can you instruct us more specifically? Are there particular meats that we should and shouldn't be eating? And how much meat should we eat every day?
Well, there are some people who would espouse we don't need any meat during the day. You can eat without meat and receive your proper amount of protein from plant foods. In fact, the typical American diet is too high in protein. And often people receive information, nutrition misinformation, where they're told to eat more protein as a way to get in shape. They're often told there's misinformation in gyms by trainers. And so people tend to consume a lot more protein than their body actually requires. So that's often a big change for people, to rein in the protein and make it a high quality protein. So in terms of my first choice would be plant-based proteins, legumes, and you could just have, in any one of Claire's cookbooks, you have a recipe for every type of legume there is. We promote fish, salmon for the omega-3 fatty acids, occasional chicken, skinless, and we really minimize the use of red meat. It's really a preference. If you really love it and have to have it, it's an occasional meat.
So, Claire, tell us a little bit. You know, I know that you've been very involved with the cancer community in a variety of ways. Tell us some of the things that you do, both in terms of education as well as really, you know, starting to push on the research agenda and helping to get the word out about research.
Well, over the years, we've employed some young people who've come in with cancers. So we've seen cancer affect so many people we love and care about. And we've decided that we need to do more than even just feeding people and trying to make them healthy and teach them about eating well. We need to have more money for research, because we see the numbers. We see how many people live today and have battled cancer and have overcome cancers. And I know it's just because of the research. And I just know that if we put enough money into research, we will find those cures that we're waiting for. I feel confident of that, and I'm going to help do as much as I can to do that. We have something called Coins for Causes at Claire's. Also, what I've done this year is any honorariums I get for any speaking engagements, I just donate it to, I already have a job. So I donate it to research. And Smilo is, I'm a big fan of Smilo because of, honestly, because of Ann Worcester. She was sort of the final straw for me. I said, that's it. The gloves are off. We are going to do everything we can. I'm going to never let a day go by without talking about the need for more research for cancer. Simple as that.
I understand that you're also in the Fit Walk. Can you talk about the Fit Walk program?
Well, that's actually how I got to meet Anise, which was very nice. Yes, the Fit Walk, Shanna Schneider started this. It was 1 week, and we had to walk 10,000 steps a day, which is not easy, even for those of us who do a lot of walking or think we do a lot of walking. Because if you have to sit at a desk, if you have to write papers, it's really difficult to accomplish that. But we wore this ultra Fitbit, and it monitored how many steps we took. And then you had to report in on a computer. So, I mean, if you were inclined to cheat, you could have. I had many staff who offered to wear it for me, but I couldn't do it. But it was a wonderful way of convincing the community and telling your friends and sharing the information that, that fitness matters. It counts. And besides, if the five of us who were asked to wear this for 1 week did it, the Fitbit people were going to be presenting a $5,000 check to Smilo. There was no way I wasn't finishing it.
I would like to add about the power of the pedometer. Once you put one of those on, it really makes you very aware of how little you actually move during the day. And I am project director on the Lean Study, which is lifestyle, exercise, and nutrition. And one of the tools we have is the women wear a pedometer, and the goal is 10,000 steps a day. And that is one of the biggest eye-opening experiences. And so many women would say to me, I thought I was active until I put that pedometer on. And to get to 10,000 steps a day requires a lot of thought and thinking of how to maximize your movement during the day. We also have another goal, which is 150 minutes a week of walking, in addition to the 10,000 steps a day on the pedometer. And those are two independent measures that we use, because also what's important for cancer survivors and all of us is weight management. So we can't really talk about food without talking about the other side of the equation, which is moving your body. So the two go hand in hand. And the pedometer is one way for everyone to get up and move more and take breaks from sitting at the computer.
So, Maura, you know, it's fabulous that you mentioned the Lean Study. I think certainly exercise and diet are something that our School of Public Health is looking at in a variety of studies. You want to tell us more about some of the other studies that cancer patients and cancer survivors can get involved in, and maybe a little bit more about what exactly the Lean Study is?
Well, I'll start with the Lean Study, which is lifestyle, exercise, and nutrition, as I said, and it's a weight loss study for women who've completed treatment for breast cancer and who want and need to lose weight. And we do it through a combination of healthy eating and also moving your body more, as I said. Those simple goals of 150 minutes a week and the 10,000 steps a day on the pedometer. And our goal is a 10% weight loss from their starting weight. And most women, when you say that, they'll say, oh no, I want to lose more. And I remind them that that 10% really is the gift of health to your body. You lose that 10% and keep it off, you've reaped all the medical benefits from that weight loss. So it makes it very doable. And we're getting great results. And what the women say when they start eating a predominantly plant-based way of eating, they eat less meat, they move their body more, the first thing they say is, I feel better. And they love that. And when you feel better, you can deal with everything else better. You're stronger. And then they start to see the weight come off. So it's very rewarding to work with women in the Lean Study. And the other studies that are out of the School of Public Health, one is called the HOPE Study, and that's for women who have been treated for breast cancer who are on a type of medication called aromatase inhibitors. And a side effect of the aromatase inhibitors is joint pain and muscle pain. So this HOPE Study is designed to use exercise as a way to manage the side effects of the aromatase inhibitors. We're getting great results from that. So many women who go on these aromatase inhibitors experience this side effect, and it almost immobilizes them. They feel that they'll describe that they aged overnight, and their inclination is to stop moving. And our study has them, moving more. And they find when they move more that it lessens the side effect of the medication and allows them to stay on the medication and reap the benefit. Because ideally, you want to stay on the medication for at least 5 years. So that's a long time to deal with joint pain.
Are there programs like that for other cancer survivors, patients with other kinds of, say, lung cancers and other solid tumors, for instance, who've had surgical treatment and need to recover, or who have finished chemotherapy? Or are we recommending the same kind of walk, 10,000 steps and eat a healthy diet?
Yes, there is another study for ovarian cancer survivors. It's the WALK study. But again, it's the same principles of eat smarter, move more. and as a way to achieve weight management. Because when your body's at a healthy weight, your body works better.
And I guess the other thing, too, is that with the survivorship clinic that you're in, one of the things that I found most impressive is that the survivorship clinic is open to people with malignancies of any sort. And it really is a truly multidisciplinary approach, as I understand, with a physical therapist, as well as yourself, a dietitian, as well as a social worker and an oncologist, to really work as a team to look at all of those aspects. How do we get you to move more and eat better and get in touch with your life and have all of the medical benefits of your treatment plan going forward?
That's true. The beauty of the multidisciplinary team at the Survivorship Clinic is we have the opportunity to treat the whole patient and all aspects of their care and identify what are their particular obstacles to adopting healthier lifestyles. And we see men and women and all cancer types. So and a particularly needy group in terms of cancer survivor are those survivors of head and neck cancers, because they often have to make modifications to the texture of their food. They have difficulty chewing, swallowing, and there's some safety issues there. So coming to the survivorship clinic allows them to really be able to make adaptations to their diet and still get all their nutrients and, again, feel better.
Claire, there are patients that we treat who, undergoing chemotherapy, lose weight and they need more protein. So can you advise, you've given us some great recipes, can you advise on ways that we can help those patients? Like, what can they be eating? What innovative things can we do with plant-based proteins to help these folks?
Well, I think everyone loves soup. And I think it makes you feel good. It's warm. It makes you feel nurtured. I think starting out with a bean soup, whether it's a black bean soup or a kidney bean soup, beans are just so healthy and they're so rich in protein and fiber and magnesium and just so many things that are really good for you, and it's very satisfying. I think the other thing is I'm not adverse to organic egg, and having just an olive oil pan-fried egg, organic, is just wonderful. And you could have that with lots and lots of vegetables. You know, I think we need to look at food in a different way in terms of a meal. You know, we don't need to have the start out with the salad, go to the soup, go to the pasta dish or the meat entree. Instead, maybe start out the meal with a half of a baked butternut squash. If you're pressed for time, put it in the microwave. It takes 2 minutes. You know, cut side down, a little water on the bottom of the dish. Flip it upside down when it's cooked and sprinkle some cinnamon on it. That will start at least making you feel satisfied while you're waiting for the meal. But I think in terms of protein, I don't know if you recommend soy. I know there's some issue sometimes, but unprocessed soy. I'm still a fan of tempeh. I'm still a fan of, and you get that wonderful chewy texture, and it's a great source of protein. I'm a big fan of organic tofu. You know, you could change the texture by freezing it and then defrosting it and squeezing all the water out and then crumbling it almost like crumbled beef. I think, you know, again, looking at protein in a different way, looking at food in a different way, looking to make those vegetable choices, whether you're eating home or whether you're eating out, you know, plan ahead, like you were saying, Maura, you know, being prepared, keeping your freezer filled with things that you could eat. You know, keeping your freezer filled with organic berries so you can make a smoothie. You know, plain Greek yogurts loaded with protein, and you get those probiotics. You know, so it has in calcium. You know, and it's so creamy and wonderful, and you can get it fat-free. So, I mean, things like that. But like you said, being prepared and being open to trying something new and thinking about how wonderful you're going to feel afterwards, even if you don't feel great when you first start.
Claire Criscolo is the owner of Claire's Cornucopia in New Haven, and Maura Harrigan is a registered dietitian for the Adult Survivorship Clinic at Yale Cancer Center. If you have questions or would like to add your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also get the podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.